You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Bayer, maker of pharmaceuticals and agricultural products, blocked an espionage attempt by China's Winty Group and has been quietly monitoring the threat actor since last year. News on Glitch POS and its evolution. Do those apps really need all that access? Two breaches of Facebook data by third parties. Some good digital hygiene notes. And no, there's no CIA officer warning you'll be arrested if you don't pony up 1.4 Bitcoin. From the CyberWire studios at DataTribe, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Thursday, April 4th, 2019. Pharmaceutical and agricultural chemical giant Bayer this morning announced that it had sustained a network intrusion by the Winty Group. Active since at least 2010, Winty has been associated with Chinese intelligence services, cutting its teeth on monitoring disfavored domestic populations, notably Uyghurs and Tibetans, and then moving on to industrial espionage. The goal of the operation seems to have been data theft, not attacks on industrial control systems. Bayer detected and contained the attack last year and has been quietly monitoring it ever since, the better to understand the attackers, how they work, and what they're after. German authorities are investigating, and of course Bayer, the victim in this case, is cooperating with them closely. Bayer may be the victim, but here the victim seems to have done a good job of self-defense. Booz Allen researchers who've been tracking Glitch POS report that the malware has evolved. That suggests strongly that its masters are actively maintaining it. Glitch POS's most interesting new functionality is an offline mode, which could enable targeting of systems without direct internet connections. It also probably enables a quieter mode of operation, reducing chatter to command and control servers. Booz researchers say the malware sleeps for a second between beacons, which may not seem like much, but which drops the noise enough to make a difference. As the Booz report notes, Cisco Talos first published an analysis of Glitch POS, and we'll hear from that research team later in this podcast. Apps really do ask for a lot more permission in users' mobile devices than they reasonably need, A Wandera study concludes. The security company looked at some 30,000 iOS apps and found that a lot of them ask for quite a bit. 62% wanted to access your photo library, 55% wanted into your camera, and 51% asked for location when in use. Sure, some of these may give the user a bit of convenience, but Wandera suggests that users really ought to be pickier about what permissions they're prepared to give. Organizations in the energy sector continue to improve their readiness when it comes to cybersecurity in the operational technology, that's the OT space, on the plant floor, for instance. With the ongoing digitization of critical infrastructure, how are energy companies adapting? Leo Simonovich is Global Head in Industrial Cyber and Digital Security at Siemens Energy.
Well, the energy sector faces two major challenges in security. One is to secure the vast brownfield where the equipment is anywhere between 15 and 50 years old, where digital is being bolted on top, and the greenfield where IoT and security is being implemented within and where attacks are reaching lightning speeds. For the vast brownfield, I think the challenge is foundational. To take some basic measures like patching and vulnerability management and asset management, that's even hard to do for many companies, especially small to medium-sized enterprises. And then at the same time, how to think about security in a different way around edge, around cloud, and around this bifurcation where a lot of the intelligence is being pushed either into the office environment or right into the field.
Yeah, I mean, it strikes me that that's an interesting challenge where you have all these available streams of data that can come back to folks controlling these systems, but you still have to have that component on the ground. You're still dealing with mechanical objects, you know, out in the field that are controlling the flow of these critical infrastructure elements.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's where the physical and digital worlds really converge. And we think of security and digitalization as really two sides of the same coin. The attack in Ukraine really illustrates the point. The operator for the first few hours didn't know he was experiencing a cyber attack. He thought that his control system was malfunctioning. And if he was, in fact, collecting and correlating data from the network, the control system, and the asset, he would have spotted a pattern that was really out of sync. And this is where AI, in fact, offers enormous benefit. It's those variations and the ability to identify patterns that to a human brain would be difficult to pull together. But AI can bring to fruition to say that my process logic says that the machine should be operating at one speed. My network says that it's operating in another. And pulling these pieces of the puzzle together, mixing, matching them, and then identifying unusual patterns is sort of the promise that artificial intelligence, machine learning, neural networks can bring to the table. But to do all that, you need connectivity, you need basic visibility, and foundationally, you need to embrace artificial intelligence as a tool. And that's something that many energy companies are hesitant to do because to them it seems like a black box.
So how do you overcome that resistance? How do you convince them that this is something that's beneficial?
I think it begins by tackling visibility one block at a time, starting with an understanding what assets you have, how important those assets are, prioritizing them, and then beginning to implement some monitoring capability. You shouldn't monitor everything, and the things that you do monitor need to have both operational benefit and security benefit. In fact, the data that we're analyzing, and this is what we're doing at Siemens, we've built a monitoring platform that ingests process and network data to provide insights to customers in terms of finished intelligence. What we often find is that 90% of the alarms have more to do with operational changes than they do with security. But nevertheless, they need to be investigated because a configuration change could mean a cyber attack, or it could mean that a compressor or turbine is malfunctioning. So this digital revolution that we are all experiencing is inevitable. The question is, how do we protect it to ensure the viability of our economy?
That's Leo Simonovich from Siemens Energy. Another big Facebook data exposure has been disclosed, this one due to third parties who left the data in indifferently configured AWS buckets. Researchers at security firm UpGuard found 450 million Facebook users' records exposed online. That's pretty big, but we may be growing inured to big breaches. The data were in unsecured AWS buckets belonging to third parties Cultura Colectiva and now defunct At The Pool. Cultura Colectiva, a Mexican media outfit, left such data as comments, likes, reactions, account names, Facebook IDs, and more waggling around on the internet, unsecured by so much as a password. The situation was similar with At The Pool. This was a Facebook-linked app whose exposed S3 bucket include a baker's dozen of data categories, including Facebook user ID, user, friends, likes, music, movies, books, photos, events, groups, check-ins, and interests, as well as passwords for At The Pool. At The Pool may be gone, but the Facebook data remain, and even the passwords to At The Pool are problematic. As UpGuard points out, many people reuse passwords, so even these could have some utility in credential stuffing attacks. Reuters says Facebook has succeeded in getting the information taken down. The company has taken the opportunity to point out that, quote, Facebook's policies prohibit storing Facebook information in a public database, end quote. But as so often happens, there's many a slip twixt the bucket and the lip. AT&T Cybersecurity's Alien Labs reports finding a Python-based bot scanner, which they're calling Zwoo. It's actively looking for exposed surfaces and any default passwords users might carelessly have left in place. This serves as a timely reminder of one aspect of good digital hygiene. Don't leave that default password in place when you deploy hardware or software tools. People notice. They have bots looking for them. Another aspect of good digital hygiene is, of course, regular secure backup. There's a sad story out of Michigan this week in which a small business, specifically a medical practice, is going under due to a ransomware attack. Brookside ENT and Hearing Center in Battle Creek will close its doors permanently on April 30th. Attackers encrypted the practice's files and demanded $6,500 in ransom. When Brookside refused to pay, the extortionists wiped the practice's data. Rather than try to rebuild their records, and they decided that this would be difficult to the point of impossibility, the two principals decided to close the practice and retire. Brookside's files were encrypted, and the attackers aren't believed to have been able to access them, but essentially all the practice's business data and medical records were lost. Brookside is remaining open until the end of the month, but only to answer patients' questions and refer them to other care providers. Several things about the incident are striking. First, ransom need not be large to destroy a business. Indeed, it probably won't be the ransom demand, but rather the data loss that proves the killer. Second, the doctors declined to pay because they didn't believe they'd be provided with a key to decrypt their files. And third, while the data were encrypted, which is important, they apparently weren't effectively backed up in a way that would enable them to be restored, and that broke the practice. And finally, some news you can use. If you're contacted by someone who says you're about to be arrested for naughty stuff on your device, just blow them off. It's scareware and not real. Trustwave's Spider Labs has been looking into one such scam. The subject line is replete with the sort of officialese that might seem spooky. Your email, and that's where they put in your email address, has been verified, and that's followed by a Central Intelligence Agency case number. The body of the email says it's caught you distributing material involving underage children and urges you to open a zip file which will prove that they've got the goods on you. Your arrest is scheduled for April 15th, at least in the sample Spider Labs is sharing. Why? Well, the technical collection officer says it's come to his attention that you're a wealthy person concerned about your reputation and that he's offering to expunge you from the records and the arrest list if you pay 1.4 Bitcoin, about $5,000, in accordance with his instructions. So is this some rogue Langley flyboy out to make some blackmail money on the side? No. It's the usual jerk trying to scare the naive. Delete the email, and for heaven's sake, don't open any attachments or click on any links.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
And joining me once again is Craig Williams. He's the director of Talos Outreach at Cisco. Craig, it's great to have you back. You all recently published some new research about some point-of-sale software you guys have been looking at. What's going on here?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. So this piece of malware we found, we're calling it the Glitch POS, or Glitch Point-of-Sale Malware. And what's really interesting about this one is it's, you know, all these types of kit malware are really designed to allow unsophisticated attackers to basically run malware that's out of their league, right? To take a really sophisticated idea and make it simple so that anyone can control it and use it successfully.
So walk me through what's going on with this one.
So this one's pretty interesting. The author behind it is advertising it on these forums, obviously, for sale. But what I found really interesting is that he's basically using his credibility to help market it. And so a few years ago, he released another similar kit called Diamond Fox that was very, very popular. Had a post out by Checkpoint, I think it was, back in 2017 or so. Hmm. And so, you know, it's one of those interesting things that they do on these criminal forums, right? How do you know who to trust? You know, because anybody could just take somebody's money and run. But so this guy's standing up and saying, no, I'm an experienced malware author and I know what I'm doing, which it's hilarious when you think about it, right? Like, talk about operational security fails. You know, it's like, hey, let me just take all my illegal activity and sign my name to it and notarize it with a copy of my ID.
Right.
But at the same time, it gives other bad guys a sense of, oh, we can trust him. He's a really bad guy. He's written malware in the past.
Yeah. And honor among thieves.
Right. Well, oh, wait till we get to the end. It gets even funnier.
Okay.
And so, you know, when this malware comes out, it's basically packed. It's got a lovely little kitten unpacking routine. So, you know, he's clearly learned to avoid AV. You know, he's attempting to do that through packers. I believe it was a UPX packer, which is, you know, again, time-tested and proven. But the basic payload for this is really interesting. So it's got like a command and control system, right? And it's actually pretty visually appealing. You know, I looked at this, and I've got to give this guy credit. It's probably one of the prettiest C2 setups I've seen. It's put a lot of effort into this that we just don't see a lot of times. And so to me, one of my core takeaways from this is it's almost like anyone with sophistication to install a video game could probably run this successfully. The reason I find that so concerning is because a lot of the people who are going to be looking at these underground forums, potentially just out of curiosity, may be drawn into this because it looks like something they could handle.
Yeah, it's interesting to see where the bar is set and that it would even extend to something like this in an underground market.
Right. And, you know, this is new malware. We did look. There were some visual similarities. So it's pretty clear that they did steal a little bit from the Diamond POS control panel. Or I guess C2 is probably a better word, some of the graphic interfaces. But the actual malware itself is new. And so that actually does give additional credibility to, was this guy behind the other piece of malware? So we do believe these are linked. We believe it's the same author. We believe it's new software he put out there to make some money. But here's where it gets really funny, right? So we're looking at these forums, looking through the malware, and the guy comes out Presumably, this guy bought the malware from the original author, and then he comes out basically claiming it as his own and wanting to sell it on his own. And so he's actually trying to increase some of the prices. And so people called him out on it, but, you know, thieves are going to thieve, you know? What can you do?
Right. Yeah, I guess there is no honor among thieves.
Well, at least he was smart enough to use a different forum. But, you know, these type of attacker communities are so small that people are going to tend to use multiple forums. And so while he was called out on it, I'm sure he did make a decent amount of money from it. And so, you know, unfortunately, this is going to be one of those things that I think is going to continue to evolve. It's one of these things that Talos is going to have to basically continue to monitor and ensure that our coverage stays in place and ensure that we can properly work with law enforcement all around the world to take these guys down.
Yeah. All right. Well, Craig Williams, thanks for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the dark net, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.